You are listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Today is National Human Trafficking Awareness Day, and while trafficking might seem like an issue we're all on the same side of, when it comes to how we should go about combating the problem, people don't always agree. The push to end child sex trafficking in particular has led to some unexpected conflicts. KALW's Liza Veal reports.
For the past 3 years, Alameda County has been waging a campaign against child sex trafficking. The effort was led by Alameda County District Attorney Nancy O'Malley. Here she is on a public service announcement.
Human trafficking thrives on isolation and secrecy, so we are hopeful that you can help us combat this crime.
O'Malley's a leader on this issue. She's won national awards and over $15 million in federal grants for her innovations. Her strategy involves public awareness campaigns, police training, hotlines, support services for victims, and prosecution. Her office has convicted 509 people of trafficking since 2011.
If there's somebody who, if left on the street, is going to continue to take advantage of particularly young people in the way that we see, that person needs to be removed from society.
Some say this is the attention the issue deserves. But there are critics who say it does more harm than good by entangling more people in the criminal justice system, alleged clients, trafficking victims, and sex workers alike. One criticism from sex worker advocates is that law enforcement treats everyone trading sex like a victim of trafficking, even people who are acting on their own will. You can hear this in the way District Attorney O'Malley talks about her efforts. The line between victim and sex worker gets blurry.
We're trying to provide resources for adults also who may not have been trafficked in our legal sense of the word, but were certainly exploited at a young age, to help them kind of address some of the issues for themselves.
Since 2011, O'Malley's office has connected 593 sexually exploited minors with anti-trafficking services, going to counseling, reporting to shelters, things like that. And these are young people that previously might have been sent to jail. A lot of sex worker advocates see this victim treatment as an improvement from criminal treatment, but it can still be a form of control. Youth can still be sent to jail if they fail to comply with the anti-trafficking services. District Attorney O'Malley admits that many of the people that are, quote, rescued for rehabilitation try their best to escape.
I would say that there's nothing that is going to stop a youth from leaving. Some of them have run 25 times before they finally realize that I don't want to do this anymore.
Former sex worker Kristen D'Angelo says this mistrust of anti-trafficking campaigns runs deep.
The fear is still there. It only takes one story to spread on the street like wildfire. That's how things spread there.
D'Angelo used to do street-level sex work, and now she advocates for young people caught in the trade. Her story begins in the 80s, when the massage parlors where she did business were targeted.
They begin kicking us out of the massage parlors, you know, saving us.
At the time, D'Angelo was 16 and on her own. She says she didn't have enough money to go without working for more than a few days.
So I needed somebody to get me an ID that said I was of age so I can continue working safely, right? I didn't want to end up on the street. But the opposite happened.
She says that within 48 hours of losing her place of work, she found herself meeting a man at a truck stop.
Girlfriend told me, I have a friend who can get you an ID. And I thought, oh, that sounds great. So I went and met this guy who I didn't even understand what a pimp was. And he told me, oh, I can get you this fake ID that'll be totally legitimate. You just have to work for the weekend for it, you know, to pay for it. But that's not how it works. And I didn't know that.
She says once you're involved with a pimp, it's hard to get loose.
You let somebody be nice to you for a little while, and then, you know, there are no free lunches out there.
The way she sees it, it was the crackdown on the parlors that forced her into a situation that resembled trafficking, even if she wasn't literally bought or sold. D'Angelo worked on the street on and off for 10 years. In the mid-80s, she was beaten and raped by a client. She pressed charges, but found that the law didn't serve people like her.
His attorney argued it was nothing more than petty theft because of who I was. Now, that pissed me off.
These days, attorneys probably can't get away with saying this kind of thing. But Last year's revelations of widespread sexual misconduct in multiple East Bay police departments give credence to sex workers' continuing mistrust of the criminal justice system. The paradox in the current crackdown on street-level sex work is that right alongside it, there's a world of commercial sex that's only gotten freer, more mainstream, and safer. But it's not on the street. It's coordinated behind closed doors, on the internet.
My friend, so the way she described it to me was, oh yeah, you get paid to go out on the town with, like, you know, these guys.
This is Adrienne. At the time of this interview, she was a UC Berkeley English major, and she didn't want to give her real name. She's describing an online service she uses to connect with men that want to pay her for sex, or maybe just a date. Adrienne says it's not just a transaction. She plays a role in their lives that's
very Lolita-like. These guys who have, like, monotonous lives, like, making them feel excited.
She only sees one man at a time for a few thousand dollars a month. She says she looks for nice guys who are thinking,
I want to adore someone and take care of them.
These kinds of arrangements, called sugar babies and sugar daddies or mamas, have grown in popularity over the last 5 years. One website, sugardaddyforme.com, claims that its membership in San Francisco grew 50% faster than in any other metropolitan area, possibly because of how much wealth was created here over the same period of time. Adrienne is reaping the profits without suffering the stigma.
It doesn't feel like sex work. Like, it's literally like a 21st century relationship with clearly defined lines.
For people like her, the sex industry has become more accessible, more lucrative, and less risky. But the industry has its own hierarchy. There's the sugar babies and high-end escorts, and then there's the marginalized street world. And the two spaces are policed very differently.
The more criminalized a sex worker is, the more risks they're going to take on.
Matthew Kellegrew is co-founder of Red Light Legal, a nonprofit in Oakland that provides legal support for people in the sex trade. He and co-founder Christina Dolgen say the crackdown on people buying sex on the street has meant that most mainstream clients have migrated to the internet.
Which means that the clients that are available are ones that are willing to take risks.
In other words, she says, they're people with less to lose, more likely to be reckless or violent, which is why they're seeing an increase
and instances of violence from predatory clients.
So why does anyone work on the street? A lot of times, the whole reason you get into the sex trade is because you need money tonight, meaning you don't have the time or resources necessary to access high-end clients.
So to pay for photos, professional photos, and to pay for your own website or pay to be on a website that hosts people's escort ads, to be able to afford to look like you are in the same socioeconomic class with those clients.
Dolgen says up until a few years ago, you could post and screen clients on Craigslist or a free host site called redbook.com. But law enforcement has closed those channels, and the others are pay to play. Some people think of it as the gentrification of the sex trade, that the internet market comes at the expense of those who rely on the street sex trade for survival. But you could argue that there's not a big difference between what Adrienne is doing on the internet and what happens on the street.
One type of conduct is criminalized, the other type of conduct is not.
And Kellegrew and Dolgen argue the people working on the street are a lot more likely to need the money and a lot more likely to go to jail for what they do. Kellegrew says we can't eliminate sex trafficking by law enforcement alone. We have to confront what he says is the core problem,
which is just poverty. It's the same problem with drug trafficking. It's the same problem with gun violence. You know what I mean? It's not like it has some independent root cause that we didn't already know about.
Of course, sex trafficking is a problem that we need to respond to. But for some sex worker advocates, the blunt force of the criminal justice system may be making it harder to solve. In Oakland, I'm Liza Veal for Cross Currents.